You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, yes. It is that time.
And now we'll steer the stars.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
How appropriate, way back when, that a group called the Fifth Dimension was singing about the age of Aquarius. Hello, everyone. It's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics. Audrey Newmont, Nick Newmont, we're here to bring you the best of the alternative side of things. And yeah, we are going to talk about the third eye and the fifth dimension and the Aquarian age all in one night. And the group, the Fifth Dimension, was way ahead of their time on that. So to get caught up and acknowledge people's successes, Audrey, our guest from a few weeks ago and spoke at Focus on Success, got quite an accolade.
Yay, Carmen Mormino. We are so impressed with you.
Yeah, Carmen.
Good job.
Carmen was on the show a couple weeks ago prior to Michael McGuire. And through Rodeo Realty, he got the President's Elite Platinum Circle, which very few agents in California get. And so, again, congratulations, Carmen. And as we said that, you know, when we presented Focus on Success, Carmen spoke for about a half an hour to that group and really lended, you know, some real credence to how, you know, things I've done with him to help him, and also, you know, the legitimacy of the program that I use for people to help them to be extremely successful. And we are representing Focus on Success on Saturday, March the 6th. So if you are interested in attending that, please get in touch with us as soon as possible. And also, it is going to be presented on Zoom this time. So if you are out of state, out of the country, or out of your mind, and you would like to participate.
We're all out of our mind right now.
Yeah, exactly. If you'd like to participate in that class, it's Saturday, March 6th from 10 to 5. And it will take, you know, whatever your business in, especially if you are an entrepreneur, to a whole new level. And you will understand on a much deeper level and what Audrey and I present as to where the roadblocks have been, why they've been there, and how to move those roadblocks and get either on the road to success, or in Carmen's case, from the road of success into the superhighway of success. And, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of business you're in, we can help you to be more successful. And it's so much fun, too.
Right.
As we...
Your met one's online and in person.
Yes, what I said.
Yeah.
In Zoom.
I was so busy over here, I wasn't listening.
All the techie stuff. We are going to have a meditation here at the Newmont Center on Monday, March 15th. If you are interested in that, let us know. That will be live and on Zoom. And as the Healthy Mind, Healthy Body series has two more weeks left on Monday nights, we will begin Sacred Geometry on March the 22nd. And that is a 10-week course, which is very involved. The only caveat with studying Sacred Geometry here, you have to have gone through Sentient Healing 1 to get into Sacred Geometry. And as I tease, you know, even those students who are very well informed, once you get into Sacred Geometry, there's a tendency for your head to explode because the information is so profound and it's amazing to wrap your head around. So those are events that we have coming up. And also look for things that Audrey has talked about. And now you can talk about that, although it's not on the calendar yet, doing a timeline workshop.
Yes, we are going to be doing a timeline workshop. And we've added a new element to it that's really very interesting. So the timeline work is a matter of looking at your past, and instead of looking at it with judgment, you're looking at it with compassion and understanding, and you're looking for the answers to what you, why you're doing what you're doing now. So it's a process, and sometimes it's emotional. A lot of times it's very cathartic, and almost always you're getting the answers and able to change your behavior and become much more intentional in your life. And this new element that we just added to it, I tried it out on my Sunday morning women's group. That's every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So for all you ladies out there, we are having a good time in that group, and it's in person and it's online as well. So I think they got a lot of benefit from it. So it's all a matter of when we're looking at our life and trying to understand why we have what we have going on, there's answers, and you go digging with them. Right. You know, you like that song you started with. There's a song by Peter Gabriel, Digging in the Dirt, looking for the places I got hurt. It's a good song. Anyway, it's going to be coming up probably in the middle to late February. No, March.
March. This is mid-February. I mean, where's the time
going? I've been working since 8 this morning. My brain is a little on overload.
It'll all be over soon. It's a little bit more to go. So also, with Healthy Mind, Healthy Body, we have two more weeks left of that, and we were going to cover the third eye and the crown, and we are going to talk about the third eye this evening on the show, and what that represents, and interesting fifth dimension stuff too.
Yeah,
that we'll get ready to wrap your head around this. So
while we're talking about things, I also want to say, from a balmy.
Oh my goodness, our friend Kirby is in Defiance, Ohio. I love the name of that town.
And for all of you out there that are watching from, whether it's Texas where Melody is, or all of you that are in all of these states that are having this insane weather, our hearts really go out to you. It's a lot. It's a lot that we're dealing with right now. And, you know, just keep with it. This is going to get better.
And also, too, you know, my friends, especially Beth in Oregon, where you had snow and then it's melting, and fascinating pictures that you post on Facebook.
Great pictures, yeah.
The icicles melting off the trees. It's really cool. I growing up in Pennsylvania, I grew up in that stuff. I remember that. That's why I don't live in Pennsylvania.
I grew up in Florida. It was a whole nother ballgame.
Yes, it was.
I had to run away from the big bugs. Snakes.
All kinds of stuff. As we sit here today, we still have five planets in Aquarius: Saturn, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, and the Sun. However, the Sun, by the time we get to Thursday, we'll have moved from Aquarius to Pisces. So we're starting to release that big stellium of Aquarian energy that makes everything so high-strung. I was explaining someone to this morning that, you know, Aquarian energy, while it's wonderful and it takes people to a higher vibration, you know, when there's a lot of planets in Aquarius, and of course, you know, anyone that's born with a lot of planets in Aquarius, it happens, you know, there's a tendency to be very wired, and an Aquarian energy needs to come down a little bit. You know, it's one thing to have a planet or two in Aquarius, but when you have half your sky in Aquarius, where what it's looked like for some time now, things are, it's not intense like when it's in Scorpio, but there is a tension. You know, it's like electrical guide wires pulled, you know, so tight. So it'll be good to have some of the planets move out of Aquarius into Pisces soon. And also, people have been asking, yes, Mercury is still retrograde, and it goes direct, depending on where you live, on the 28th. So we still have another 12 days or so of Mercury retrograde. And yes, it does affect, especially in Aquarius, does affect electronics. And again, let me say this, but this came up in a session the other day. Can you sign contracts in Mercury retrograde? Yes, as long as the agreement has been reached prior to the retrograde. So if the agreement is there and in retrograde, it's simply the act of putting pen to paper, then you can sign. Just make sure everything is worked out and it's it's agreeable. T's are crossed, I's are dotted.
So with all this stuff going on, I can't even express to you how many clients I'm working with that are just having a struggle. And people coming from, you know, not having seen me for a while and coming back in, there's just a lot of emotional turmoil going on right now. Is that all of this?
Yes, it has to do with Mercury in retrograde and those five planets that I mentioned in Aquarius all at the same time, including Mercury. Yeah. People are wired. And also we have to be careful because as we go into tomorrow, the moon will spend, you know, a day crossing Uranus. And when the moon spends the day, you know, the Uranus is at 7 degrees of Taurus right now. When I printed this before the show, the moon was just on the edge of moving from Aries into Taurus. So as we get into tomorrow, when you get the moon, which is your feelings, emotions, habits, and patterns, sitting on the planet Uranus, which is Aquarian, people have a tendency to do things that are a little crazy, you know, and there are very strong emotional shifts that take place. So, you know, whatever you have to do tomorrow, if you have important decisions to make or something doesn't go your way and it's like, oh my God, I just want to quit. Don't, because Aquarius, Uranus on the moon makes people have emotional gut reactions. And Uranus is all about sudden change. And the weird thing is that it's in the sign of Taurus and Taurus doesn't like change. So it's sort of a rattling of the status quo that's going on.
So we would say in a moment like this, a really important thing to do is to remain patient and take a time out, maybe do some meditation. And I want to say something that I do. I have a tendency to go for walks in nature a lot, and I'm looking up at the trees at the moment, and they're just the baby buds of the leaves that are coming out. So I remember years ago, I was having a really hard time around this time of year. And I was looking up at the trees in my very challenging moment. And I was thinking, you know, the leaves know what to do. The trees know what to do. And just be patient and go through this moment of barren, hard, whatever it looks like. And just know that on the other side, that it's going to be spring. Life is going to be again anew. And there's going to be a whole nother inside, a whole nother experience that we're all going to be having.
Right.
So it's super important to get, this isn't a forever thing, what all of this is that we're going through. It's a moment.
It is a moment.
It's a hard moment.
It's a moment that's a shift. And our producer typed in, the retrograde is killing me. Yeah, this.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot
I
of
feel
people.
You. A lot of people are feeling that way. And one of the things in the retrograde that we can control is what we say. Mm-hmm. And how we perceive it, and being very clear on, you know, communication. Last night, you know, on our show, we talked a lot about the throat. And of course, Dr. Bennett was talking about glandular disorders. And, you know, but the throat chakra is our communication center. But also, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, even though the throat chakra rules the thyroid and the throat, the throat chakra rules the mouth, the teeth, lips, gums, all the way along the jawline, you know, to the nose, the sinuses, and to the ears. So, you know, the ears are included in communication. So, you know, you have to hear as much as you have to speak with clear communication. And, you know, with Mercury retrograde, we want to stop and think and pay attention to what is being said. Otherwise, we get a lot of, well, I thought you said, and I thought you said, and that gets us all in trouble.
You know what I'm going to do? I want to post. I'm in the middle of posting a lot of different videos here on our Mainstream Metaphysics page, and I'm going to post the part on our workshop last night where I did the constructive communication format. Because across the board, when I'm working with clients, and I know that you have this as well, we haven't been taught how to communicate very effectively. So I put together a really easy user-friendly format that makes it kind of a no-fail approach. So I'll post that tomorrow and look on YouTube at Mainstream Metaphysics. You'll find it there. And there's another thing that that I just posted. It's an 8 minutes and 39 second meditation that helps to realign and balance when we're in a moment like this as well. Sometimes it's just about taking a time out, right?
Right, exactly. And I think that through this whole time of almost, you know, it's been 11 months now, we have been given a time out. And the circumstances that created it haven't been the best for everyone. But I think we've all taken a little bit of a step back and gained a different perspective. And some of those perspectives are actually better than what was. It's an interesting time. And it doesn't mean that we like it or have to like it. It doesn't mean what we don't like it either. It's simply a time to gain perspective, mm-hmm. you know, on how we perceive what is transpiring and how we will take our lives and improvement from this point, whether some people have sort of bottomed out and need to go up, or some people have just sort of hovered a little bit and gone up from there. And one thing that, and referring back to Carmen, the realtor, and all the conversations I've had with him, you know, we could, in certain businesses, look at it like, oh my God, and just fall on our faces. And some, not just him, but many realtors got very creative in this time and found ways to do virtual open houses.
Which Carmen does very well, I might add.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, he, you know, you talk about someone who really knows how to take lemons and make lemonade. And that's him.
I want to say what happened with one of my clients today. With all of us, we have been locked up with those people that we love. And it's really important to get, if you're still in the relationship with the one that you love at this point, it's a good thing. It's a big deal. There's right. been a lot of people that have just not made it through. So right. we've worked with a few couples that really took the time to not hover, but keep growing with each other and own that communication and own the other aspects of the right. relationship, be patient with each other, compassionate, all those things that are necessary in a moment like this. And actually, a lot of them are closer than they were when this whole thing started. So kudos to those people as well, right. really.
And by the way, this past Sunday was Valentine's Day. Thank you for a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Les, thank you.
You're welcome.
Went to a good. New restaurant out here. It was fabulous. Basta. Yeah.
Yes. And I've posted a lot of different, you know, restaurants that we've been to. But, you know, we're not going to do a commercial for the restaurant. But if you're interested in where we were on Sunday, yeah, we'll share that with you because it was a wonderful experience. So, all right. So now we go from food and love and all that into third eye. So, you know, when it comes to the third eye of all the chakras has an extremely mystical perception of it mm-hmm. and what it represents. And the third eye, which is right around here, or referred to as the Ajna, is your perception filter of reality. And I know that the third eye as that chakra, the sixth chakra, represents vision and intuition and how we take in ideas. And so those ideas can become created or manifested. And the third eye being the perception filter of reality is, if you're not psychic and precognitive, it's how you see out there. It's how you see things. And as Audrey and I have said many times, that you're either seeing clearly or you're driving with a muddy windshield. And the care for your third eye is very important, as opposed to the other chakras, which are all sensitive and energy centers. But the third eye and what it does and represents needs to be given special care. It's not so pedestrian as some of the other chakras. And a lot of people experience their third eyes being kind of burnt out, you know, kind of fried because we overuse it. And of course, in a little bit, we'll talk about the pineal gland and how that works with the third eye. So if you do have a job where you're in front of a computer many hours a day, or you find yourself many of you on your iPad or on your phone a lot. And a lot of time people spend time on their phone like it's their second or tertiary computer. You know, you're causing your third eye to overwork.
And I'm going to do a quick little commercial. That's why I got these glasses. They have a yellow filter in them. And when I'm actually sitting at the computer, because I do for hours, it makes the eye better. It's not so hard on the eyes, and which helps with the third eye as well. So if you don't have them already, they're easy to buy online. They just have you can look them up. They're a yellow kind of frame or glass. So I had to say that because they have really been helpful for me.
So they help to filter.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's two perspectives on this. First of all, your third eye does govern your eyes, your actual eyeballs. And if you strain your eyes, what happens is that the eye goes from being round like a basketball to it elongates like a football. And that changes your eye prescription. And a lot of times, if you're a contact lens wearer and you go for an eye checkup, sometimes they will tell you not to wear your contact lenses for a couple of days so that lens isn't pushing on there, especially back in the days of the hard plastic lenses.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how people wore those things.
Yeah, I remember those days. So the eyeball can relax a little bit. So what happens to the third eye is something similar. When we are working very hard and we're straining, and especially if we're on deadlines and there's the inference of this has got to be done in the future, and we're trying to see down the road how something could come out, the third eye, instead of sitting like a satellite dish just receiving signals, then begins to telescope itself out like this, and it becomes misshapen. And then the third eye doesn't work as well as it should. And many times when I do energy work on people, I look at the third eye and I can tell immediately that they're using their eyes too much, because that saucer shape now becomes eventually like an elephant trunk. Mm-hmm. It just telescopes out, and that weakens it. And of course, through the way we do the work here, we can put the third eye back into focus. So it's really important to take care of your eyes, which will help take care of your third eye and not strain. And we'll talk about, some people have a tendency to stay up very late at night and work. No, not you. I'm talking about people who stay up till 2-3 in the morning on their computer working. That's not good for a number of reasons. One, it does overwork your eyes. It overworks your third eye. And what's happening is that you are you're not allowing your pineal gland to produce sufficient amounts of serotonin, and which doesn't allow it to produce melatonin,
which are more the feel good factors in life.
And melatonin helps you sleep.
Yeah.
You know, people will actually take melatonin. I mean, for a long time, the simple natural remedy of melatonin was a glass of warm milk before bed.
Let's get back to the perception thing for just a minute, because there's something really important about the perception piece. When I'm working with my clients, I tell them that the belief system that we have is your controller. So if you had a remote control that was controlling all of your stuff and who you are, the controller itself is your belief system. And on the top, the three buttons that dictate everything is intention, attention, and perception. So when this guy gets warped and our perception starts to get skewed, we start seeing the world and taking action on that seeing in a way that isn't very conscious. And we're not even aware that we're doing it. So that's another reason why this is also very important. That's a ruler of what we're doing on a day-to-day basis,
exactly,
which is creating your happiness or not.
Now, the other thing that's extremely harmful on the third eye is drugs.
Yep.
And so, you know, now we start to think of your third eye as a disposable contact lens. It has to be, quote unquote, the lens, I mean, has to be moist, okay, lubricated. And when we put too much depressants or drugs in that cause the person to see things differently or in a very warped way, just as if you would take that wet lens out and leave it in the air, it begins to shrivel and warp and hardens. Well, that is exactly what happens to the third eye chakra also. So if you're doing any kind of hallucinogenics, that's something else I'm going to go into next, because some people do believe in certain ones. You have to know that you're altering the perception filter of reality. Now, I know there are people that do mushrooms, and I know that ayahuasca is a big deal for some people. So it's not, I can't say across the board to everybody, don't do that. This is what I can say. If you're not of a certain spiritual vibration and you experiment, you know, with ayahuasca, it will raise your vibration. And the feedback that I get is that people that are not into higher consciousness, it becomes a good experience. But with people who are of a higher consciousness and already their third eye is very tuned in to high frequency, doing the ayahuasca becomes this overload and really messes with it. And they go through an extended period of time, you know, not feeling good and having to have the third eye repaired. So it's not that it's bad across the board, and it's not that it's good across the board. It's a very individuated thing.
Yeah. So you're kind of taking a bit of a chance when you're doing something like that.
Right.
It is a choice. We've actually worked with people who have used various forms of hallucinogenics, can be as simple as marijuana, and they having an experience where everything opened up in such a way that it was massively overwhelming and traumatic. So you really want to be clear and conscious when you're making those kind of a choice.
Like if you want your third eye to develop into precognition and psychic abilities, it's meditation and accelerated types of meditation that will get you there, not you know, man-made sources or things that you would ingest to take you there. And if they do take you there, then what happens is that, you know, it's either temporary or it's induced artificially. I will tell you this: many years ago, a friend of mine at that time, who was extremely psychic, we smoked a joint, and that is not my thing. It throws me off. But when we did we did readings for each other and recorded them. The readings were extremely accurate. But the problem is that when you put THC into your system from that, then you go about a week where your third eye is not working very well. So there can be this immediate boost, but then the for it to recover just takes too long. So if you get into deeper types of meditation, you can, and you learn how to channel, you know, you can bring this in and develop your third eye into a higher consciousness and knowingness.
And again, even that, you know, that was your experience with that. But right. I know people who smoke pot and they don't have any issues with it whatsoever. So right. It's all a very individual thing. And again, like anything, if you're overdoing something, if it's affecting your day-to-day life, if you're doing these things to escape from rather than using it for whatever the purpose is to enhance or make your life better, then, you know, those are the things that you want to look at. So we're not saying there's anything wrong or bad with smoking pot or any of those things. We're just saying there's right. risk involved, and there is making very conscious choices of why you're doing it, what the purpose is.
Well, as I'm saying, is this is in relationship to the third eye,
yeah.
not the entire body and not the entire experience. It's how it affects the third eye, and it can cause it to be misshapen.
Yeah.
Because when your third eye is in good shape, you just think of it as like a big mixing bowl, you know, and it receives information. And everything goes in there, into that bowl, coming in a clockwise way, and it just circles around. It is a frequency. It's hertz, HZ. And so when we affect the shape of the third eye, that changes the frequency. I know. People write to us, and you're always welcome to write on our Facebook pages, but
Sometimes and you guys can ask questions while we're here, just rattling on. You know, if you have any questions about what we're talking, we do. We rattle on sometimes.
All right. So now, as we've said over the past 5 weeks or so, when we talked about each chakra, from the root chakra up, each one of the chakras relates to a gland. And the third eye relates to the pineal gland, and the, or you can say pineal, however you want to say it. And the reason it's called pineal, the reason it's spelled like that is because it looks like a pine cone, and it's buried deep in your brain. And yes, people are writing funny things. It's good,
Ryan.
Oh yeah.
I've been looking a lot at this stuff with the pineal gland, and it's fascinating. So let's dig into it a little bit more because it's really interesting information.
Okay. So one more thing about the body in the third eye, that when we don't sleep enough and we hyperactivate the third eye, in other words, it's open and aware when we should be sleeping, even when you do go to sleep, your eyes are closed, but the third eye experiences the feeling as if someone is shining a strobe light into it. And it's getting bombarded with these frequencies. So we talk a lot about chakras being closed, but sometimes chakras can be hyper open, and that does happen to the third eye. And when the third eye is not getting a chance to rest, that is what destroys the production of serotonin and melatonin. And that shows up. So when I'm working on someone and I see their third eye is misshapen, I automatically ask them, you know, how's your sleep? And they immediately affirm that it's not good and what's happening and so on and so forth. Now, also remember something as all the body is connected, that when you don't sleep, your liver is functioning when it shouldn't be functioning. When you go to sleep at night, all your bodily functions work, but the liver is the one organ that should rest. And so when you see people that look like they have great big, they look like a raccoon, really dark circles, that is, you know, the liver overproducing when it should be sleeping. And the stomach meridian, you know, right at the top of the stomach, and the liver is part of the third chakra, is connected directly to the eyes. So that secretion, which is a form of a depressant, is going right to the eyes. And that's why people look at that. And then, of course, when your cortisol levels are going through the ceiling, and that also has an effect on the pineal gland and the third eye. And it's very small, the pineal gland is.
It's a little tiny thing in there.
Yeah,
but it's super important. So explain a little bit more about how that pineal gland operates, like what that thing is doing. And before you even go there, in what we have been ingesting as a whole, when we have had fluoride in the water and different things that we have ingested, unfortunately, that has a tendency to calcify the pineal gland, and it stops what he's about to say the pineal gland does. So it's very interesting. So go into that.
Well, then what happens is then it stops producing melatonin, which does help you sleep. In fact, in the studies of the seven glands in the body, the seven main glands, the pineal gland is the one that we know the least about. And the pineal gland, and I'm going to go into this, has other functions. I'm going to cover all of this tonight. The other thing that the pineal gland covers is our circadian rhythms. And that's your 24-hour biological cycle, characterized by sleep-wake patterns, daylight, darkness, and that helps dictate your circadian rhythm. And light exposure stops the release of melatonin, and in turn, it controls your circadian rhythms. Now, melatonin secretion is low during daylight and high during when it's night and dark outside, which does have some influence over your reaction to what's called the photoperiod, which is day versus night. And naturally, you know, our photoperiod affects sleep patterns, but melatonin's degree of impact over sleep patterns, you know, there are arguments over that. Now, what's really important to know, too, is there are people that work different kinds of jobs. I mean, I grew up back east when there was people working in mills and what they called the graveyard shift. So, and that was 11 at night till 7 in the morning. And those people would go home after they were getting done working, and then they would go to bed. But that really throws the circadian rhythms off because they're sleeping when it's light outside and they're up when it's dark outside. And that, when those people, for some reason, would get off graveyard shift and go into what was 7 to 3 or 3 to 11, they would have a hard time reestablishing sleep when it was really time to sleep.
Right.
Because it takes a while to restore the circadian rhythms.
If you want to restore the circadian rhythm quickly, go out in nature and camp. Restore it really fast. When your body vibrates with that kind of energy, it does the trick fast. Keep going.
Okay. So it's when we overstimulate the third eye, we are overstimulating the pineal gland. So when it's time to sleep, you're supposed to sleep. Now, having said that, when you go to bed at night, some people think that it doesn't matter what time they go to bed, that, you know, you go to bed at 2 a.m. and sleep till 9 in the morning. That's not great sleep. The best sleep that you get, which is determined as by studies, is real restful sleep from 10 p.m. to midnight. That is when you get your best sleep. Everything else is just basically icing on the cake. So when you consistently go to bed too late, and even though, again, maybe you got 8-9 hours sleep, you're still not fully rested. And because you're up late, your third eye wasn't given the opportunity to produce the proper levels of serotonin and melatonin into the system. So there's times that it's important that you go to bed earlier. And one thing I can say is that as you mature, notice I didn't say age, as you mature, you know, these glands don't produce the way they did when you were younger. And so it's important that, you know, you periodically, if it's not every night, go to bed earlier. If you're tired and it's 9:30 at night, so you miss your favorite sitcom, you record it anyway, go to bed.
If you're having a challenge going to bed and all the stuff of the day is racing through your mind and it makes it difficult for you to go to sleep, you can look at my website. I have a deep sleep meditation on there that a lot of people seem to resonate with. So you listen to that for a good 7 days and let your body get into a new habit. You can also change what you're doing before you go to bed, like take a nice warm bath or shower. You know, just change things up a little bit. Or listen to a good book on tape. That way your eyes aren't working and you're just listening to it. I've fallen asleep many times with a good book. So check out some of those options. If you want a name of a good book, on my resource page are some good books.
Okay. Now, this is where this gets real interesting,
too. This is the interesting stuff.
It's all interesting.
No, some of it's more interesting than others.
Yes, and Kirby's asking, is that why some don't require as much sleep? Yes. Yes.
And Brian wants to know about a blue light at night.
Well, that's like a blue light at night has the same effect as, you know, there are people that wear blue glasses when they're in front of a computer. Okay. Not the yellow ones. Yes. And that does have a shielding effect on the eyes. Now, there's an important connection between the third eye, the sixth chakra, and the second chakra, which is at the navel, the sacral chakra, and it's physical and it's metaphysical. So this is where creative ideas come in, and the third eye has a front and a back chakra, and the second chakra, along with intimacy and all of that, it's also where we manifest creative ideas. And so it's important that the second chakra and the sixth chakra communicate with each other and stay open, because when they're closed, that's when people get what's called writer's block, is that the information is not going from the third eye, where the ideas come in. And actually, they go up the back of the third eye. That's where the ideas are facilitated into reality, and they connect down into the second chakra.
I'm just going to say something really quick. When he's saying ideas come in, I want you to think of it kind of like your iPhone. You have this thing, it has no cords attached or whatever, and it's bringing in information, and we're putting information out. We're bringing in information all the time. When you have those insights, those, wow, I just had the greatest idea out of nowhere, and it's new creative thinking. That's you bringing in information, kind of like your phone does or your computer does. That's our intelligence, just on a quick side note.
Right. Now, on a physical level, that when you produce melatonin, all right, and by the way, not melanin, which has to do with your skin pigment. You know, that's why you tan. Some people tan more than others. Melatonin, it not only controls your circadian rhythms, it regulates reproductive hormones too. So that's the other connection from third eye to second chakra.
You want to have a baby, get more sleep and more sex.
So melatonin blocks the secretion of gonadotropins, and that's a hormone and follicle stimulating hormone from the anterior pituitary gland. We're going to talk about that next week, pituitary gland. And those hormones aid in the proper development in the functioning of the ovaries and the testes. So the pineal gland's full purpose is still not completely known yet, but from what we're studying and reading, we're getting a lot closer in being able to tie together the entire endocrine system. And of course, when the glands aren't working right, then we end up with hormonal imbalances. And that's all of them, from the adrenals to the ovaries or testes, pancreas, thymus, thyroid, you know, pineal, and then pituitary. And the other part of this, which is, you know, something that you and I could talk about forever, is there the interest now in the fifth dimension, and not the group, not the musical group, the idea of going into fifth dimensional work. So people are having very interesting experiences where they seem to have glitches in reality, or events take place, or they seem to have missed time, slipped time. And it's not people losing their minds. You know, as we move into the age of Aquarius, we're going into places in space. I've said this before, our solar system is not static in the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Everything, as we rotate, is moving through space. We're not.
It's almost like we're a big, huge, enormous, unbelievably beyond your imagination wheel that's turning. So for 2,000 years, we've been in the age of Pisces. We're now in the age of Aquarius. So for those of you that are having weird kind of out-of-body moments, or you get to your home and you're looking at it and it's like, this isn't my home. I had a client just tell me that the other day. She's been having moments where it's like things are not the same for her. It's like there's glitches that are happening. Right. So again, it's not that we're losing our minds. We're moving into a new dimension. And there's this word that's called ascension that's happening. So there's physical aspects that can come with that. There's different physical symptoms that it's like, I'm not used to my body feeling like this. So right. It's super important to get that it's not you, that there is this experience that we're all having. And Nick and I are going to be having a night where we're just simply talking about this. We haven't put it on the calendar yet, but we have a lot of people that we're talking with. I've had my own moment where I had this really strange event where I just wasn't where I was. It was, I can't even express to you in this amount of time. But when we have this night, we're going to talk about it a lot more. So this isn't us being woo-woo or weird or anything like this, because it's a lot of people that we're talking with that are coming to us and saying, I'm having these experiences. What in the world is going on here? So you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Well, as we move deeper into the fifth dimension, our ability, or let's say the synchronicity of making actual connection or realization with extraterrestrials will become very real. And I think people have actually interacted with them, didn't realize that they were interacting with them. The other thing about fifth dimension is that, you know, since the mid-90s, I've been doing this form of energy work that we refer to as being down on the soul level. And there is a way, and some of you out there that are watching know that, you know, have had these experiences, and there is a way through frequencies to transport us into the fifth dimension. And when people are done with these sessions, although they feel improvement, when they first go to get off the table, there is a sense of, you know, wobbliness and sort of having just come back from space, having to reground. And this is a fifth dimensional experience. And what happens to the aura around the body, instead of just looking at the body, what I see, everything becomes very holographic. You thin out, and this is an acceleration of the etheric molecules and partly into the actual molecules where we can actually affect the etheric DNA. Now, what happens is when people get off the table and they're kind of wobbly, what has literally happened is, although it looks like you're in the room, there's a part of you that has a dual consciousness and you're not in the room. This is fifth dimensional experience. It's a duality of consciousness that is simultaneous, and that is very hard to wrap your head around. And when people are talking about having these glitches, it's because they're more than one place at the same time, and they're aware.
So it's almost kind of like when you have a dream, and it's like a very vivid dream, and you wake up and you're like, wait a minute, I just had the most crazy dream. I was like there, and I was having this whole experience. So we have to remember we're 50 trillion cells of energy with a heart that has a conscious beating brain in there, and our brain and all the stuff, it's like a quantum computer here. So right. Kirby, when you're asking, is this good or bad? It's not good or bad. It just is. But when we have information and we have an awareness of what's going on, there's a part of it where we say, all right, I'm not crazy. I'm just having an interesting moment. Right. So I'm going to ride the moment. I'm just going to stay calm in the chaos. I'm going to just be, and I'm going to do whatever I do with it, not taking it from a perception of this is bad or wrong or I'm freaked out, but just kind of, it's almost like being on the ride. So you're not putting any judgment on it, because there really isn't any good or bad or right or wrong. It's just standing of it. And if you have somebody around you that's got these kind of experiences, you know, let them know it's okay. Right. We're all just having an interesting ride at this time for so many reasons. Truly. So being patient and persevering through it.
And as we get near the end of the show, I'm going to say something. I've never said it like this before. Oh. And this is all for everybody to think about. We are all told that we only use 1/6 of our brain. We've all heard that. This is the way I'm going to spin it. You're aware of using 1/6 of your brain. You're not aware of when you use the other components of your brain that are so advanced. You use them. You just don't have the conscious experience or the memory that you're using it. So kind of keep that in mind.
Yeah. And, you know, in the process of all this, be extremely patient. So if you're having an interesting moment, literally just sit down and just go into a meditation, focus on your breathing, focus on what you can do. It's not seeing your moments. Right. It's just you being, you know.
Yeah, we're talking about dimension, not dementia. Kirby. And when I'm doing psychic work, not astrology, and I'm looking into the future, I really am transporting into the future. I stay on my feet and my body, but I have to travel and see those things. It's not just as I'm looking at the screen now and watching it unfold. I'm actually having an experience of what that looks like and feels like down the road. So, and that's from the third eye.
For some interesting information around this, go to YouTube and look at a guy by the name of Michael Jaco, J-A-C-O. And he just had Christiana Northrup and this woman named Lori Ladd and this guy Jason Shurka and his partner. I forget his name. It's interesting information. So there's a whole bunch of information out about this. And when Nick and I have that group that we're going to be having, we'll be doing a Zoom with it as well. So we'll create an avenue for more information that way as well.
And also for next week, when we talk about the pituitary gland, we talk about the crown chakra, which is connection to spirit. So where we leave you tonight will simply morph into the topic next week. So this is one time we could type across the screen, to be continued. And on that note, I want to thank everybody that's typing in and watching. We appreciate it. And thank you to Ronan, our producer, you know, taking care of us, you know, all these months. Audrey, thank you for being here as always. And for those of you who've been watching, thanks. And week to week, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Thank you for watching Mainstream Metaphysics here on LA Talk Radio.
And remember to share with your friends, please.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.